Next on Moments of Grace podcast, Dr. Butler speaks with love educator and relationship coach Riley Malinario. They talk about the nuances of relationships and how to transition from a bad relationship to a loving one.
This is your host, Dr. Adriel Butler, and welcome to A Moment of Grace. Happy to have you here with us on today. This is a wonderful, beautiful day. You know, I'm on that other side where we say when you get a little older, that it's just great to be alive. 25 years ago, I thought that was absolutely insane. That's not my witness today. So happy to be here with you all and just enjoying life and all that life has to offer. Question for you. Have you ever been in love? Have you ever had an opportunity see the birds flying in the air and the smile on your loved one's face and all those things? All of that emotion that we have as it concerns love and how we feel in that emotion is what we're going to be talking about today. I have a guest with me. Riley Malinario is here with us today, and she is the world's first love educator. So, Riley, welcome to Moments of Grace.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Thank
wonderful,
you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Would you share with the audience a little bit about yourself, Riley?
Yes. So I am an expert love educator and relationship coach.
Okay.
I work with couples and individuals to teach them a proven formula of how to create a successful relationship. So the first thing that I ask people when they come into my community is, when did you learn how to have a successful relationship? Did your parents teach you? Did they sit you down, open a book and say, this is the formula for success? And most of the time they'll think, well, no. And so I ask them, did you take a class in school called Thriving Relationships? And they'll say, well, no. And so the question is, when did you learn the information for one of the most important things that you will ever do in your life, which is have a successful relationship, create a successful family? We are not being taught the information that we know because we have been able to research relationships on a scientific level.
Right.
A lot of times people think that relationships are so complicated because they involve emotions and people are complicated, but we've actually been able to study relationships on a scientific level in the same way that we know that 1 + 1 = 2, that red and yellow equal orange. We do understand the formula for having a successful relationship. So it's my mission to provide the world with that information so that we can end generational trauma, end generational ignorance, end generational poverty, and be a more empowered, compassionate, and connective world.
Got you. So I'm going to ask some probing questions as we get into our conversation, Riley. So unlike 1 + 1 + 1, because those are static numbers, they don't move. People do. So explain to me this algorithm, if you have you, to relationships or how to cultivate that perfect relationship.
Yes. So we do have to understand that relationships have changed more in the last 50 years than
Definitely.
They have in the 5,000.
Definitely.
So we now have more freedom than ever to choose who we want to be, who we want to be with, and what kind of life we want to live. We do have to understand that there are so many different people, cultures, viewpoints on this planet. And our job is to first go and find someone that we are compatible with. So a lot of times people do agree, they do sort of understand that compatibility is important. But we tend to look at it from a superficial point of view. I like football. My partner likes football. I like rock music. My partner likes rock music. We are compatible. But when we're talking about relationships in 2023, we have to go much deeper than that. We have to make sure that we start the relationship with what I call a common vision. So it's having agreed upon values, goals, expectations, and boundaries for the relationship. I'm sure that you've seen, you know, these videos on TikTok and Instagram and all these different platforms about what is the role of a woman? What is the role of a man? You know, how do we have relationships? And the truth is that whether you're in an open relationship or a closed relationship, whether you want to have children or not, whether you want the woman to be the head or the man to be a head, these are all superficial things. The relationship success has nothing to do with any of these surface issues. It really comes down to what I label as relationship intelligence. So this is where the science comes in. We have to have certain things in our relationship for it to be successful, regardless of what kind of relationship you have, regardless of what kind of person, you know, you're in a relationship with. This works for everyone. It works regardless of whether or not you have children, regardless of whether you're married or dating. There are some things that create the foundation of successful relationships that everyone needs to apply if they want to have a successful relationship.
Well, give us some of those foundations, because again, you're going to have to convince me, Riley. I'm being honest with you. You're going to have to convince me, because I've been a counselor for over 30 years and been a marriage counselor for over for that period of time, as well as out of 30 years and being a minister, I've married over 20 couples. I've only had one divorce out of 20 couples. So I believe there's another formula that works, and yours is more scientific. Mine is more spiritual. Because I believe the word of God tells us never to be unevenly yoked. And so whether it's scientific or not, from your perspective or not, that's what I believe, is that when we find ourselves in such a different strata from each other, we end up cascading into places where we are separated. I don't believe in people growing apart. I just don't believe in that garbage. To me, it is, because when we talk about growing apart, you can't grow apart if you were never together.
Okay.
So now sell me on this whole, because you're not selling me, Riley.
Yeah. So I think that we would, because again, whether you believe it's a spiritual union or, you know, you believe what I'm.
Well, I've married people that were secular as well. I've married people that were secular. So it's not just totally spiritual, right?
You know, this really doesn't have to do, again, it really doesn't have to do with the particular religion that the couple has, because it works for everyone. So one of those things I think that you would agree with is effective communication. Couples have to be able to communicate, because that is the vehicle which they're going to use to navigate their relationship. A lot of times couples don't know how to communicate. They know how to speak, and sometimes they know how to listen, but communication is when you have information going both ways. It involves understanding. It involves acceptance. It involves being able to navigate the difficulties that you have when you are in a relationship. So effective communication is something that we don't learn. A lot of people are really bad communicators, especially when you're talking about the active listening part. A lot of times we can hear our partner because we can hear the words coming out of their mouth, but we're not able to practice active listening, which is listening with the intent to understand. So we have been able to come up with this really, it seems obvious, but it's something that's really more difficult in practice. So if I'm in a heated argument with my partner, I have about 10 seconds of an attention span before I start to think about what I want to say next, because we get in these really defensive modes when we feel attacked during conversation, during conflict. So being able to have that effective communication involves being able to practice that active listening. It's telling yourself, I need to listen to what my partner is saying, even if I don't agree with them. I can completely disagree with what you're saying, but I can understand what it is that you're telling me. I can understand what your perspective is. And a lot of times we struggle in relationships because we don't have that understanding. We tend to feel defensive. We tend to want to tell our partner what we feel rather than listening to what they feel and what they're experiencing. So effective communication has to be there in order to have a thriving relationship.
Got you. Well, I appreciate you explaining that to me, and you're winning me over, Riley. You're winning me over. I like to take a small break, Riley, and when we come back, we want to continue our conversation here. As we continue to talk about love education, okay? Stay with us until after the break, okay? All right. We're talking with Riley Molinario, and she is the world's first love educator. And as we're having our discussion, I'm being enlightened. Like I said, been in counseling for 30 years, and some of the things she's saying we've heard before, but it's been presented in a different way. So we appreciate that. But we'll be right back after these messages.
The latest book by Dr. A. Jerome Butler is here. Queen or Concubine, Being Worthy of Your Crown is one of the best books written by this prolific author and teacher. Dr. Tabitha Russell, CEO and founder of Inside Inspired Women Global, home of the Breakthrough Millionaires Academy, said, Dr. Butler's unique perspective on this issue is both enlightening and thought-provoking. He empowers women to strive for their purpose, to be queens rather than concubines. And Dr. Janet Bishop Nesbitt, certified life, wellness, grief coach, educator, speaker, and veteran, said about this book, God engineered you to be a masterpiece, to be phenomenal, and to be a queen. This book reveals biblically sound principles and other references that will unleash the greatness God has planted inside of you, equipping you with God's word to encourage and strengthen you along the way, to be worthy of your crown. You can order this life-changing book at www.drajrbutler.com. Again, you can order this life-changing book at www.drajrbutler.com. And remember, you are truly worthy of your crown.
Over 600,000 Americans live under the banner of being unsheltered. Statistics show that 60% of unhoused families are underemployed. While we live in the richest nation in the world, our poor have been overlooked. Our nation's unsheltered veterans and unhoused families need God's grace and love to manifest in this season. The Grace Project is an answer to families attempting to transition from homelessness to home ownership. The Grace Project provides clean, affordable homes to the homeless. Would you consider giving a donation of any amount to assist us with this divine effort? You can give at www.graceproject.info. Unsheltered families can also fill out an application on the site, www.graceproject.info. Thank you in advance from the Grace Project.
Right back after these messages. And so we're back. So as you can see with the Grace Project, you know, this is our ministry where we build homes for the homeless and also for our veterans. Excuse me, let me restate that. I had one of my board of directors that wanted to correct me so I can be politically correct. The unhoused families and veterans. We have five projects going on right now, two in South Carolina and three in Arkansas. And we're looking at moving to Georgia and other areas. By subscribing to this broadcast, nothing goes into my pocket. Nothing that you give will go to me, but it will go to a family that is unhoused, a family that is unsheltered. And so we want to encourage you to become a member of the Moments of Grace family. You can come in at 99 cents a month, all the way up to $10 a month and beyond. And so I want to encourage you to help us in this great mission to help families get off the street. Keep in mind, there's over a half a million families tonight as I'm talking to you that will be without shelter. So please help us with that. Well, we're back with Riley Molinario, who is the love educator. So Riley, welcome back to Moments of Grace.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Riley, share with us a little bit more about what relationship intelligence is, since we're coming from primarily a place, are we coming from a place of academia or we're just coming from a place of logic?
Both.
Okay.
Relationship intelligence is true for all relationships. Okay. Again, you can be a religious couple, regardless of what religion you choose. This goes for every type of relationship that you want to have. I've worked with all different couples of all different backgrounds, age gap relationships, couples from different countries, interracial. This really does apply because it's the foundation of all successful relationships. Humans have the same basic needs, regardless of how we express that. All humans want to feel heard. They want to feel seen. They want to feel respected. They want to feel loved. And so relationship intelligence takes that and allows you to use all of those basic needs to navigate your relationship successfully. So relationship intelligence is basically how you navigate your relationship. A lot of times when we get into relationships, we get into them based on love. We are starting to date someone and we start to think, okay, I could see myself with this person. I love this person, but we forget to actually build the relationship. So a lot of times we find ourselves 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line with a broken foundation, and we end up suffering because of that. So as I was saying before, you and your partner need to practice and be able to master effective communication. A lot of times couples don't really get that part. They just learn how to speak to each other. They learn how to listen a little bit. We're all really bad listeners, especially now with social media and our short attention spans. But we don't actually allow ourselves to learn the same way that we would learn to tie our shoes. We don't actually learn how to communicate and master that effective communication really early on in the relationship so that we can talk about anything that comes our way for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Another pillar of relationship intelligence would be having a problem-solving technique. So we understand as human beings that problems are a part of life. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what background you come from. Everyone has problems. It's part of being human. So when you get into a relationship, you are also going to have problems, whether those problems are in your relationship or outside things like a family loss, a job loss, a pandemic, everyone has problems. So when you're in a relationship, if you learn a problem-solving technique that you can go to when you have a problem, the two of you sit down, you practice that effective communication, you listen to each other's perspectives, you accept that maybe those perspectives are different. You're able to practice brainstorming, compromising, negotiating, allowing the two of you to work through those problems. It makes your relationship run so much more smoothly. Because a lot of times when we are in relationships, in the beginning, when we have problems, we fight. But we can usually recover from those fights quite quickly because it's the beginning of the relationship. And so it's like kiss, kiss, you make up, but then, you know, you find yourself in another fight and another fight and another fight. And the longer you go on, the more difficult it becomes because you haven't truly worked through that issue, which is really targeting the foundation of the relationship, not the superficial things like who didn't take out the trash or, you know, you were late for dinner, stuff like that. It's really about when you are fighting in your relationship, it's really about fighting about the foundation, the more deeper issues in your relationship. So when you learn to have a problem-solving technique, you can go through those problems much more smoothly with a lot of compassion, active listening, understanding, partnership, the two of you coming together and saying, we ultimately want the same goal. Let's work through this problem, however long it takes. Let's work through it with a lot of compassion and connectiveness rather than seeing it's me versus my partner, it's us versus the problem. So partnership, brainstorming, compromise, negotiation, those are all part of relationship intelligence.
Got you. Got you. At the first part of your explanation, covered a little bit of, and I believe if I'm incorrect, you can correct me, some of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so are you covering all of those? You said primarily three. Are you mirroring those hierarchy needs? Because we all need love and shelter and security and all of those things. So as you were covering that, is that a piece coming from that, or where are you getting that that data from?
Yes. So we, you know, as humans, I think as all living beings, not only humans, we do all want the same thing. And I think this is based on science, but it's also a very obvious thing.
Right.
If you look at serial killers, you think, well, that person is very different than me. But ultimately, we all want the same thing, regardless of how we may express those things. So in a relationship, you may, you know, have a situation with your partner where the two of you seem to be on polar opposites about an issue. But when you break that down, the two of you actually tend to want the same thing. You both want to be seen. You both want to be heard. You both want to be understood. You both want to be loved and recognized. So we do understand that humans, although we may express ourselves differently, we do want the same things. And I think when we're in relationships, a lot of times we see each other as the enemy, especially when we're having difficult relationships. Again, instead of the couple versus the problem, it's me versus my partner. And so when we start to see more similarities that we have rather than differences, we can start to practice more of that partnership. A lot of times people say, yes, we are partners, but what does partnership actually mean? It's like the two of you going on this quest throughout life, being by each other's sides, regardless of what differences you have, regardless of what problems may come your way. We have to recognize that you're going to live your life with another human being. Exactly. We all have different perspectives, desires, triggers, traumas. You know, that is a very big request, asking someone to spend the rest of your life with them. And so we do understand that there are going to be differences. There are going to be problems. There are going to be issues in your relationship, but also just in life that put stress on the relationship. So it's really just understanding that we ultimately want the same thing, even though we may express it in different ways. And so if we just stay in line with that value system and we stay in line with what is going to be best for both of us and how do we navigate these issues that come our way, it allows your relationship to run more smoothly.
Gotcha. As you're talking, and we're talking about communication, so I want to hit you with some scenarios, all right? Because it's so much easier when the relationship first starts, as you're getting to know one another. I think the solace of finding that commonality is very important. But we have to admit, you know, we have different experiences. Men and women are different. We come from different places. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're trying to find that common ground to solidify their relationship. So my question is, when let's say men, I'm going to use men because I've never been a woman, so I have to stay on the dynamic that I am. Early on in relationships, I know of guys and that after they have, let's say, covered one or two of their needs, they're no longer interested, and the female is still interested, or vice versa. How do we, from your approach, how do you address that? If the man is still willing to sit down and talk, let's say he's still willing to sit down and talk, willing to go into counseling, willing to go into training or whatever, what you're offering, how would you address that?
So I'm not sure if I understand the question correctly. So if a man and a woman are in a relationship and two of his needs are met, what do you mean?
I'm saying early on, if they're early on in a relationship and he becomes disinterested, okay. How do you address that?
Yes. So I would say that in order to have a successful relationship, you need two things. The first is to be in love. And the second is to master relationship intelligence. If you no longer love your partner, it is possible that it's because the relationship is so broken. And if you fix the relationship itself, the communication, the understanding, the compassion, all of those things, it is possible that the love comes back. But if you simply have gotten to a point in your relationship where you maybe have some contempt, where you almost go to the other extreme, where you really dislike your partner and you almost hate them, that is a very difficult relationship to come back from. So I would say that if you lost interest in a sort of superficial sense, like I lost the intimacy or I lost the passion, I do believe that if you work on the relationship, you can bring those things back. Because another pillar of this relationship intelligence is how to maintain intimacy. How do you maintain intimacy during a long-term relationship? A lot of times we think that after the honeymoon phase, it's sort of normal for the intimacy to go out of the window. But a lot of times it's because we don't know how to invest in that intimacy and we don't quite understand what intimacy is. A lot of times people equate intimacy to sex, but there are different types of intimacy. emotional, spiritual, intellectual, those all feed each other. So if someone was still in love with their partner, but maybe the spark has gone, I would say to invest in the relationship itself, allowing the two of you to have more quality time together, to invest in the intellectual intimacy, the emotional intimacy, the physical and the sexual intimacy, to allow that to breed itself so that you can walk even further in the right direction.
Gotcha. Well, Riley, it's been a very good conversation with you. I appreciate this. One last question for you. And I'm a living witness to what I'm getting ready to ask you, believe it or not. I know I seem confrontational, but can you have a successful marriage without fighting, or a successful relationship without fighting? And explain to us how.
Yes, this is a very good question. So there are a lot of people who disagree with me, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But the ultimate question is, do you like fighting? And most people would say no. So the answer is that if you want to have a relationship without fighting, it's absolutely 100% possible, if you understand how it works. So fighting is the disappointment, the defensiveness, the resentment, the frustration. And that comes when you don't have a problem-solving technique in your relationship, or when you don't have that effective communication, or you're not able to cultivate that partnership. If you are in a healthy relationship where the two of you can sit down and you can talk about anything and you can work through your problems with that compassion and that understanding, yes, you are going to have problems. Again, problems are a part of life,
that's right.
But you are not going to have to fight because you have another means to resolve your issues. And if you do not fight, you're probably going to resolve your issues more quickly, more smoothly, and actually use those opportunities to strengthen the relationship rather than break it down. Every time we fight in our relationship, we are chipping away at that foundation, the name calling, the frustration, the walking away, you know, all of that stuff we understand that comes with fighting. And so we start to slowly chip away at the foundation. What we can do instead is we can have a better method at resolving our issues and going through those problems, that when we do it, we are more understanding, more compassionate, because you were exercising that muscle in that relationship. And every time you go through a problem, you are strengthening the relationship and allowing that bond to strengthen and your relationship to grow. So it's 100% possible to have a relationship without fighting if you choose, you know, if you want to. It's really just about learning how to go through those issues, how to communicate, how to problem solve. And I can say that I am in a relationship without fighting, and my partner and I, we have problems like everyone else, but we're able to work through them much more smoothly, much more quickly.
Got you. Well, I too have been in a relationship. We've been been together 17 years, been married 15, and we just do not argue. One thing, you know, like I told you earlier, as a counselor, I always love to ask the question, you know, if you're fighting, will you gain more than you lose? And 9 times out of 10, you consider in your mind that you won the fight, but now you've lost some intimacy. You've lost some pieces of your relationship. And so always asking the question, is it worth it? And I'm just throwing this out to anyone else that might go through marriage counseling before they get married. I always ask my couples to give me 3 years every quarter to meet with them, to talk with them, see where we're at, to kind of get a pulse on where we're at. And like you said, a lot of them, you know, go through that, through that 7 year itch that, you know, but the 3 years kind of allows them to hear themselves. And I think that's what we don't do. And you said it earlier, we're constantly talking, but no one's listening. And so, what I find is looking for a reason to make the superficial stuff, an elephant in the room. He leaves the toilet seat up. She squeezes the toothpaste out a certain way, you know, things of that nature. He leaves the shoes on the floor. There is, like you said, normally something deeper that's going on. And usually it has nothing to do with the person you're in bed with. it more than likely has something to do with your past, from my perspective, Riley, it has been such a pleasure to have you here with us. How can people get in contact with you if they need call the love educator? How can they get in contact with you for counseling and things of that nature?
Yes. So I am on Instagram and Facebook, Riley Molinario. So as long as you can spell it, you can find me. And I encourage everyone to go to RileyMolinario.com. I run a consistent contest on my website for 1 free month of relationship coaching. So if you go on RileyMolinario.com, you just pop in your email in the pop-up window and you will be entered to win.
Do me a quick favor, because we're going to put it in the show notes and it is on the screen, but spell Molinario for us if you don't mind, because there are some people like myself that had a little bit of a private education, but not much. So if you don't mind spelling for us.
It's an Italian last name. It's my husband's last name. So it's Molinario.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Riley, for being here with us. We have truly enjoyed having you, and like I said, like I told you earlier, I love conversations. I usually seeing my experts or my content, the people that are the masters at their content, when I ask some probing questions, it really shows if they really know what they're talking about. And I must say, Riley, you know what you're talking about. So thank you for being on Moments of Grace, and we've got to have you back. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Me as well. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. So we've had Riley Molinario here on Moments of Grace. Guys, listen. You can't have that relationship. One thing I found when I'm talking with couples that are on their way to divorce, or couples that are looking at splitting up, you know, I always say the same person that you walk down the aisle with is not the same person you walk into a divorce court with. That's the unfortunate part. The beautiful part is that your relationship is worth working on. It's worth not just walking away from. It is worth not just giving up. There could be just some minor tweaks, some minor things. Maybe you listening, maybe you caring a little bit more, maybe a little bit more intimacy that can turn the tide from where you are into where you can be. And I believe you can do it. And with that said, thank you all so much once again for being here with us on Moments of Grace. Remember, love God, love life, keep your light on, and we'll see you next time on Moments of Grace. Take care.